Well, welcome everybody in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm glad you were able to dial in today, and I'd like to ask you, as Jerry comes before us, to bring us the words that God's placed on his heart, that you'd say a prayer for him and also a prayer for yourselves, that the Lord would put his words in Jerry's mouth, and that he would also bless each of you, that you would hear the words that the Lord has to bring to us this morning and be able to place it in effectively in your life. And so I'll turn it over to you, Jerry.
Thank you, Benny. I want to say welcome to you all. And I love you. I'm really glad to be here and be able to stand forth and try to bring God's word. Today, I'm not necessarily sure how to introduce what I want to speak about. So I think I'll just start reading first, maybe. I'm going to start reading out of the second book of Nephi, and this is the 11th chapter. And I'm going to start reading with verse 95. So this is the 11th chapter of 2 Nephi, starting to read with verse 95. I'm going to read through verse 124. Verse 95. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore he commandeth none that they should not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, Nay, but he saith, Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth. Buy milk and honey without money and without price. Behold, hath he commanded any that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he hath given it free for all men, and he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men unto repentance. And I just take just a brief moment to say, this didn't really narrowly say the ministry. It says, Behold, I say unto you, Nay, but he hath given it free for all men, and he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men unto repentance. So it's kind of a purpose that each of us have as believers, to bring all men unto repentance. On with the 104th verse. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But all men are privileged, the one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. He commanded that there shall be no priestcrafts, for behold, priestcrafts are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they may get gain and praise of the world. But they seek not the welfare of the Zion. Behold, the Lord hath forbidden this thing. Wherefore, the Lord God hath given a commandment that all men should have charity, which charity is love. And except they should have charity, they were nothing. Wherefore, if they should have charity, they would not suffer the laborer in Zion to perish. But the laborer in Zion shall labor for Zion. For if they labor for money, they shall perish. And again, the Lord God hath commanded that men should not murmur, that they should not lie, they should not steal, that they should not take the name of the Lord God in vain, that they should not envy, that they should not have malice, that they should not contend one with another, that they should not commit whoredoms, and that they should do none of these things. For whoso doeth them shall perish, for none of these iniquities come of the Lord, for he doeth that which is good among the children of man, and he doeth nothing save it be plain unto the children of men. Before I just read on, I want to reemphasize these last words I read, that he doeth nothing save it be plain unto the children of men. The Lord God reaches out unto all men, and as he reaches out unto us, he's not trying to fool us. He's not trying to trick us. The things that he does are plain to our understanding. And when we get confused, it's because we overshadow it. We overshadow his message with our own biases, our own prejudice, our own non-belief. So let me start there again at the verse 112. And he doeth nothing save it be plain unto the children of men. And he inviteth them all to come unto him and partake of his goodness. And he denieth none that come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. And he remembereth the heathen and all that are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. I looked up that word heathen in my Strong's. I think I've always understood the word to mean non-believer. I wouldn't say that that's really wrong, but when I looked it up in Strong's, it's kind of a word that's a little less judgmental than that. It just kind of means the nations. It means, you know, don't be like the nations. Don't be like the groups of people. Be an individual follower of Christ. But he remembers them. And he remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. But behold, in the last days, or in the days of the Gentiles, yea, behold, all the nations of the Gentiles, and also the Jews, both they which shall come upon this land, and they which shall be upon other lands, yea, even upon all the lands of the earth, behold, they will be drunken with iniquity, and all manner of abominations. And when that day shall come, they shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with a great noise and with storm and tempest and with a flame of devouring fire. And all the nations that fight against Zion and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. Yea, it shall be unto them even as unto a hungry man that dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. And like unto a thirsty man, which dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. And what it's saying there is that for those that fight against science, those that don't believe, it's like when you fall asleep and you eat and you drink, but when you wake up, you didn't really eat and drink. It was just a dream. You're still hungry and you're still thirsty. And that's how it'll be for them. Yea, even so shall the multitude of all nations be that fight against Mount Zion. For behold, all ye that do iniquity, stay yourselves and wonder. For ye shall cry out and cry. Yea, ye shall be drunken, but not with wine. Ye shall stagger, but not with strong drink. For behold, the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. For behold, ye have closed your eyes, and ye have rejected the prophets, and your rulers and the seers hath he covered because of your iniquities. I read this. Did I hear somebody say something? Maybe not. I read this. I was out at a mall that we have here, and kind of watching people go to and fro, and I guess a political correct word is diversity. I saw so much diversity as I watched, and strange things that go on. I watched the, I guess I call them the teeny boppers, and they're little packs. They all congregate together and kind of move around together, and they, in their search for a place in this world, they do all kinds of things with piercings and the way they wear their clothes and dye their hair, searching but lost. And I'm not just talking about the teeny boppers. I felt this pain as I watched I felt like what I'm reading here, this deep slumber of people searching that eat and drink, and it's like they awaken and there was no things that quenches their thirst in the things that they find. There's nothing that nourishes them in the things that they try. They are somewhat in a state of being lost. And I thought, even in my concern, in the pain that I felt, I thought, even in my own family and my own friends, and what I really come to say today is hang on. Hang on. Keep believing. Keep following God. Don't turn loose. Don't become lost. Don't lose your belief. Partake of the things that he gives to all men freely, of his love. He holds it out to everyone. And he didn't say to any group, go away. Depart from me. Stay away from my churches. Stay believing and partake. I'm going to turn over to, this is on page 20. It's in the first book of Nephi, chapter 2. I'm going to start reading with verse 48. I'm going to read through 92. So, verse 48 of the second chapter of the first book of Nephi. It's on page 20. And it came to pass that after I had prayed unto the Lord, behold, a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I ever had before tasted. What I'm reading here is Lehi's description of the vision that the Lord gave him. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white, to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Therefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also, for I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit. And as I cast my eyes round about, that perhaps I might discover my family also, I beheld a river of water, and it ran along, and it was near the tree of which I was partaking the fruit. And I looked to behold from whence it came, and I saw the head thereof a little way off, and at the head thereof I beheld my mother, Zariah, and Sam, and Nephi, and they stood as if they knew not whither they should go. And it came to pass that I beckoned unto them, and I also did say unto them with a loud voice that they should come unto me and partake of the fruit, which was desirable above all other fruit. And it came to pass that they did come unto me and partake of the fruit also. And it came to pass that I was desirous that Laman and Lemuel should come and partake of the fruit also. Wherefore I cast mine eyes towards the head of the river, that perhaps I might see them. And it came to pass that I saw them, but they would not come unto me and partake of the fruit. And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river, and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of the fountain unto the large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they would have commenced in the path, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after that they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building, and it stood as it were in the air, high above the earth, and it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine, and they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those that had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after that they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them. And they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short, in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward, continually holding fast to the rod of iron, until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And he also saw other multitudes feeling their way towards that great and spacious building. And it came to pass that many were drowned in the depths of the fountain, and many were lost from his view, wandering in strange roads. And great was the multitude that did enter into the strange building. And after that they did enter into that building, they did point the finger of scorn at me, and those that were partaking of the fruit also, but we heeded them not. These are the words of my father, for as many as heeded them had fallen away. And Laman and Lemuel partook not of the fruit, saith my father. And it came to pass that after my father had spoken all the words of his dream or vision, which were many, he said unto us, because of these things which he saw in a vision, he exceedingly feared for Laman and Lemuel. Yea, he feared lest they should be cast off from the presence of the Lord. And he did exhort them then with all the feelings of a tender parent, that they would hearken to his words, and that perhaps the Lord would be merciful unto them, and not cast them off. Yea, my father did preach unto them, and after that he had preached unto them, and also prophesied unto them of many things, he bade them to keep the commandments of the Lord. And he did cease speaking unto them, and all these things did my father see and hear and speak as he dwelt in a tent in the valley of Lemuel, and also a great many more things which cannot be written upon these plates. And I'm going to turn over to verse 2, page 28, which is in the third chapter of the first book of Nephi, and read some of the definition of the meaning of what Lehi saw. This is out of Nephi's vision, because he prayed and asked God to show him too. And when the Lord showed him, he gave him the meaning of the tree of life and the rod of iron and so forth. So let me read that to go along with the vision I've just read. So I'm going to start with verse 63 of the third chapter of 1 Nephi, and I'm going to read through 69. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, yea, it is the love of God that sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore it is the most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and the most joyous to the soul. And after that he had said these words, he said unto me, look. And I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, and to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I think I remember from the 24th, I think it's the 24th chapter of Matthew, that it talks about the word of God, that when all other things pass away, that the Word of God lasts forever. The Word of God stands forever. And so it makes perfect sense. It's perfect harmony we find in these words, that rod of iron is the Word of God. It's the thing that's immovable, the thing that's fast. And when you hold on to it, it keeps you. It helps you not wander off and be lost in the midst of darkness. And that state of sleep that the Lord has sent upon the nations of the Gentiles in this latter day, even. That those that who would be awake, those who would feast upon God's word, and hang on to that rod of iron, that they would be able to stay in the path and obtain that love of God, that fruit that's most desirable. So I'll start again there at verse 68 and read 68 and 69. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters and to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. And Nephi's vision, he goes on and tells more about it, but for brevity's sake, I'm going to move on to other things. I'm going to turn over to 2 Timothy. Before I move on, let me spend just a little time talking about this vision, just reminding you of the things that they saw, that all people had a chance. They came forth and they looked for the way. Some of them even found the way, that straight and that narrow path, and traveled therein. But as cares of this world, as I think the false teachings, all the things that blind us, that take away our judgment, as in that first reading I gave, that talked about the people being drunken, but not with wine, being drunken by iniquity, by sin. Sin, the power in sin is its ability to lead you astray, to fool you, to blind your eyes, so that you wander off and you're lost. And so it's hanging on to, feasting upon the truth. It's learning it. studying so that you don't go the way that's natural to man, that you don't stay a part of, shall I call it, the heathen, the nations, all the other groups. You have to know yourself. You have to study yourself. You cling to God. You hang onto that rod of iron with your hands. That you stay in that path, that straight and narrow, and that you don't wander off. The word lost seems so strong to me as I was, just kind of watching the people there with me in the mall. And I don't mean that as a judgmental thing. I might, as I read on today, reading in Timothy, I might even feel guilty about it, realizing my own weakness and not knowing how to reach out and help, to help people obtain that path and hang on to the rod of iron. Sometimes I lack the wisdom to know what to do and how to approach people. But I'm going to start reading with something actually that we read a little bit in Sunday school. It's out of 2 Timothy. I'm going to start with chapter 2. And verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Wherein, maybe I should start with verse 8. Verse 7. Verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Who is the elect? Who's that talking about there in that 10th verse? It says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. It's those that God would choose out of this world. Who, when they are presented with the truth, will take hold. And so as he talks here, he's talking about that he suffers trouble, even as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. When we go ahead and speak it, we might even come under condemnation, even under bondage. But we do it for the elect's sake, for those that the Lord would touch with his word and bring out of that lost state, that state of blindness. We do it for their sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of those things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their world will eat as it doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And we find in our day all kinds of other teachings. A common one is that it doesn't matter. People are taught, but it doesn't matter. You're all saved anyway. All you have to do is have faith, and you're saved. You don't have to change your life. And so the faith of some failed because of false teaching. Let me go on with verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servants of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God at peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And I'm going to proceed into the chapter 3. This know also, this is the first verse of chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And I see that as being something that's plentiful in this world that we're maybe the word's privileged, maybe the word's cursed to live in. We have so many conveniences, we have so many entertainments, so many distractions. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captives silly women, laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Zanus and Zambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And I, you know, you've heard the words, consider the source. I know many times, you know, when I was away to college, actually my youngest son and I were out on a walk this week, and we were kind of discussing these things that as parents, that relationship that we have with our kids, there's kind of an underlayment, a knowledge that we have that you're trying to teach them to be good adults, good parents. You're trying to teach them to be able to go out onto their own and hang on, to be founded upon that rock themselves. As a parent, we can't always be there. We try to teach our kids to become good men, godly men, godly women, that the choices they make, it's their choice, that they make righteous choices, that they hang on with their own hands to the rod of iron, that they don't wander off into darkness. And I know that as parents, sometimes we even fear when they go away to college, when they get jobs, that, oh, they're not ready, they're going to fall into diverse temptations. And the truth is, they will be presented with all kinds of temptations, even as we. And we have to prepare them for it, teach them to hang on. And we must ourselves be that kind of an example, that we must hang on. I'm going to go back to verse 14 and read on. I'm in that 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, and I'm going to starting again here with the 14th verse. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished in all good works. And entering on into the fourth chapter, first verse, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, which shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And as I read this, you know, I think about what I read to you at the first, that if you want to hear other things, you can. And this world is set up that way. You can go anywhere and pay people to tell you what you want to hear. That if you want to be deceived by other things, they are there to be heard. And there are people wanting to get gain, and they take pay to teach you false teachings. And so people are led away, and it's out of their own desire. They have itching ears to find an excuse in somebody else to be taught the wrong things and be led away. But this I say, you know, don't be as the heathen. Don't be as everybody else. Hold fast to what you know. Hold fast to God's word. Don't wander away. Don't be lost. I think I've said what I came to say today. I grieve over the loss of my brethren. I grieve over the loss of faith. And to see that mist of darkness, and that it's more than just this vision as Lehi was shown it. It's real. It's taking place. And that blindness is, it's just what it is. It's blindness. You need to keep your vision. And that vision is that rod of iron. It's the word of God. Hang on to him. Love you. And I hope that the Spirit of God will bear these things into your heart. She will hang on. I look forward to meeting each of you. One time, I was on the way to work when I was living in Ohio, and Mike Hitt called me early in the morning. It was about maybe 6:30 in the morning, Ohio time. So actually, it was earlier for him, but he goes to work early. He called me, and he was just talking to me and telling me that he loved me. And one of the things he said was, you know, after we've both passed on from this life, when we get to be with the Lord, he said, wouldn't it be neat if we could just sit down and talk for about 6 years and just catch up? I do look forward to meeting each of you at the judgment bar of God, that we would be his children. We would spend eternity with him and be together. I love you all. God bless you.